love, they say, is what makes the world go round. But as I look around the world, whilst, yes, there's obvious love between family members and other people, and whilst, yes, there are some great missional and humanitarian initiatives afoot, there's no doubt about the fact that, man, there's an awful lot of hatred out there too. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to be taking a look at the love of God from a different perspective. Hatred is, well, it's rather a strong word, isn't it? But then again, according to Wikipedia, there are at least 54 armed conflicts underway in the world just at the moment. So yeah, there's more than enough hatred to go around. But maybe in your everyday life, hatred doesn't quite fit. You perhaps don't necessarily hate anyone. I know I don't. So let's now step it down to a systematized, institutionalized self-interest. That's a bit long-winded and highfalutin. So what do I mean? Well, all the clothes you buy, and chances are the majority of your clothes that you buy and wear, not all, but the majority, were made in a sweatshop in a developing country where the workers face harsh and dangerous conditions. Some countries even have designated zones where labour laws are suspended and people live like battery hens to produce the well-known brands that we wear, not to mention the smartphones and the tablets we use. Well, Bernie, you might say, I can't help that. It's not that I want to exploit those people, it's just how things are. I can't change them. Fair enough. So let's drill down and get even closer to home. Think about your attitudes and behaviours towards people at work. Many people in a competitive environment where you not only have to succeed, but you have to be seen to succeed to get ahead. You get up in the morning, shower, breakfast, then it's off to the commute, struggling through the traffic, honking your horn at that selfish moron who won't let you merge lanes. Or perhaps it's the train or the bus and everyone just jostles for a seat and squeezes on and takes your personal space away. By the time you get to work, you're frazzled. You're in no mood for that incompetent idiot who's your boss. So you join the gossip in the tea room. You complain about this and that. Does any of that sound even vaguely familiar? And then by the time you get home, you're snapping at your wife or your husband or the kids. You feel like kicking the dog in the head instead of patting him. All right, maybe I'm taking the metaphor just a bit far, but you get my point. Be it at the geopolitical level, the economic level, or the personal level, there's a whole lot of room for us to live out a whole lot more love than we do today. Would you agree? Growing in this area of love is something that would make such a difference in the world, in our own lives, in the lives of those whom we love, those whom we work with, our whole circle of influence. I want to take you back now to the central scripture that we've been looking at in this series. Let me read it to you again. And presuming that you're not driving at the moment or operating heavy machinery, just close your eyes and soak it in. Think about what God's saying in the context of the love that you try and live out in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but I don't have love, I'm just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give away all my possessions, if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love, you see, never ends. But as for prophecies, they'll come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it'll come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see as in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Yeah, at the end of the day, there's these three things left: faith, Well, that's super important, right? Hope, you can't keep going without hope, but without a doubt, the greatest one of those three is love. Because without love, it doesn't matter how clever, how talented, how sacrificial, how industrious we are, it ain't worth anything. You know people like that. So do I. In fact, I used to be one. I'm thinking what my little corner of the world would look like if I picked up and owned and lived just these few verses, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, much more so than I do now. I'm thinking what your little corner of the world would look like if you did the same. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't envious. It's not boastful or arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Darkness can never consume light, since after all, as a young Einstein pointed out to his atheist teacher, darkness is simply the absence of light. And so hatred, apathy, selfishness can never snuff out love because they are simply the absence of love. And selfish creatures that we are, the place where we discover an absolute abundance of love is God himself. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and then 14 to 18. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everybody who loves is born of God and knows God. And the nearer we draw to Jesus, the more we get to know him personally, the more his love starts to change how we see things, how we feel about other people, how we behave towards other people. We hear a message like this one, and what we take away is, oh, I have to love people more. Okay, who am I not being nice to? What do I have to change? What are the opportunities to love them better? And whilst none of those are bad questions to ask, if we think that that's all it's about, what we have to do, then we've completely missed the point. Over the years, I've had some people in my life who I've found incredibly frustrating. There are a couple of people who betrayed me deeply. And I used to think I just have to change my attitude. I just have to change my behaviour. But I don't know if you've noticed, it's pretty much impossible to do because before we can change on the outside, something has to change in our hearts. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 15, verses 17 to 20. Do you not see that whatever goes into your mouth enters the stomach and goes out to the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands, that doesn't defile. In other words, if we want to change on the outside, first we need, as we would say today, to have a change of heart. And that's exactly what God promises you. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. Have a listen. A new heart I will give you, a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. Real, lasting, powerful change doesn't happen when we work harder. It happens when God the Holy Spirit changes our hearts, when he replaces the heart of stone with a heart of flesh. Then all of a sudden, living God's way becomes a whole bunch easier. Why don't we get that? The Word of God is alive and active, amen, with the power to transform your life, to help you be all that God made you to be. And that's what the Fresh Daily Devotional is all about. It's completely free, and I'd love to send it to you. Each day, you'll receive a life-changing scripture together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement from me, delivered right to your inbox where you can choose to read, listen, or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. Remember, God's Word is the power to change, and it's fresh for you each day. You can subscribe to receive your free daily devotional at freshdevotional.org. And as a bonus, we'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? My prayer is that your heart will be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through the power of his word. Again, that web address is freshdevotional.org. Hey, God bless you. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow. different perspective.